Captain Caetano Raisando smiled in fierce satisfaction as HMS Rockerye's starboard broadside thundered again. His gunners probably weren't being as accurate as he might have liked, but they were maintaining an impressive rate of fire, especially for a ship's company which had never before seen battle. He could have wished he had the weather gauge instead of being forced to engage from leeward, but at least he was to windward of the convoy. He'd been tempted to detach HMS Prince of Dolar, his rearmost galleon, to assist the galleys assigned to the coaster's close escort. Unfortunately, Prince of Dolar couldn't have gotten there before the infernally fast Shan Wei-damned Carizian schooners. By the same token, however, all five of Raisando's ships were between the Carizian galleons and the convoy, and he was satisfied none of them were going to break past him to assist in the merchant ship's massacre. Not without fighting their way through, at any rate. And the truth is, even if I am never going to admit it to a single soul, that pounding two or three Carizian galleons into driftwood would be worth the loss of the entire convoy. As a converted merchantman, Rockerye lacked poop deck of the Dolaran Navy's purpose-built galleons. As a result, her wheel, quarterdeck guns, and officers were completely exposed to overhead fire. On the other hand, it meant Raisando had, at least in theory, a clear view as he stood by the starboard rail, gazing towards the enemy. Unfortunately, he was also staring directly into the choking bank of evil-smelling powder smoke rolling back across Rockerye's decks on the wind. That was another problem with being to leeward. Not only did his gunners have to cope with their own smoke blowing straight back into their faces, but the Carizian artillery smoke came driving down across them as well. The wind was brisk enough to clear their own smoke quickly, actually, but there were always fresh clouds of Carizian smoke to replace it. All they could really make out were their targets' masts above the seething, stinking fog bank, and that couldn't contribute to their accuracy. Another Carizian broadside came smashing back. They seemed to be firing a bit more slowly, but they were scoring an unpleasant number of hits. And each of those hits did substantially more damage than Raisando estimated his own lighter pieces were accomplishing. He'd expected 30-pounders, even 35-pounders, from Earl Thirsk's reports of Crag Reach, and he hadn't looked forward to the disparity in weight of metal. Unfortunately, at least some of his present opponent's guns were even heavier than that, and he winced as one of his own quarterdeck 12-pounders took a direct hit. The round shot came screaming in through the bulwark gunport at just enough of an angle to chew a perfectly rounded half-moon out of the forward edge of the open port's frame. It slammed into the gun carriage, apparently at a slightly rising angle, and struck the underside of the 12-pounder's barrel. The ton-and-a-half bronze gun tube erupted upward, leaping out of the explosion of splintered carriage timbers and shattered ring bolts like a sounding doom whale. Half the 8-man crew was killed as the enormous round shot slashed directly through them. Two of the 4 survivors were crushed and broken as the barrel of their own weapon crashed back down on top of them. Something, probably a splinter, possibly a broken iron bolt, hissed by Raisando's right ear, close enough to make his head ring, as if someone had just slapped him, hard. "Another inch or two and I wouldn't have to worry about anything ever again," he thought, then brushed the thought aside as he contemplated the carnage that single hit had left in its wake. "Probably one of those damned carronades," he reflected grimly. At least they knew what the Carizians called the shorter, stubbier guns, but that didn't help a lot when the temple had decreed that all of Mother Church's galleons would be equipped solely with long guns. In some ways, Raisando actually agreed with Vicar Elaine's logic. The carronades clearly had a shorter maximum range than a long gun of the same bore, and the ability to pound the enemy and kill his crews before he got into range to return the compliment had a great deal to recommend it. There were, unfortunately, a few flaws in that logic. For one thing, Earl Thirsk was right about the two sides' relative seamanship. Much though Raisando hated to admit it, a Coruscantian admiral was far more likely to achieve the engagement range he wanted than a Doloran admiral was to prevent him from doing so. Even ignoring that, however, Vicar Elaine seemed to be still thinking in terms of conventional boarding actions, despite the logical disconnect between them and the greater range he wanted from his longer guns. He seemed more interested in larger numbers of lighter guns, suitable for sweeping an opponent's decks just before closing to board, than in smaller numbers of heavier guns capable of smashing their way through an enemy ship's timbers at longer ranges. Killing the other fellow's crewmen was all well and good, in Raisando's opinion, but boarding actions had clearly become secondary, at best, to artillery duels. And, in an artillery duel, if the other fellow's gunners were protected by heavy bulwarks your artillery couldn't penetrate, he was going to be far better placed to kill your personnel than you were to kill his. "Oh, stop complaining, Caetano," he scolded himself. "You've still got more guns than they do, and more ships than they do, and it's time you concentrated on what you're going to do to them instead of what they're going to do to you." "Let her fall off a quarter point," he shouted to the helmsman.